And they, again, this is the house of Judah. And they shall be as mighty men, which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. They shall fight, because the Lord is with them, and the riders of the horses shall be confounded. When the world comes against Israel, in that day, in the future, they will have what appears to be everything going with them. They will have numbers. They will have the power of the armies. They will have coordination. And God will refute it all. He will bring it to naught. Verse 6. If you read verse 6 and some of the verses following, you will see. This is God. This is not the Jews. This is not the Gentiles. This is not the angels. This is God's will and God's power to do what he wants as he always had planned. And I will strengthen the house of Judah. Who strengthens the house of Judah? Does Judah? No. God does. And I will save the house of Joseph. He is the one that is a savior. Yahshua, Jehovah that saves. Jesus in Greek. And I will bring them again to the place to place them, for I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Lord their God. And they and will hear them. You look at this verse. How many times does God say, I am the one that does this. I am the one that will bring them. I am the one that will save them. I am the one that will have mercy. And I will forgive them as though they never had sinned against me. And I am the God and I will hear them. So what did the house of Judah contribute to this? Or what does the New Testament church contribute? What is it that we do that God says, oh boy, I am so blessed to have these people? Jesus says it from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The only thing that we or anyone has to offer God is he has called us and blessed us and shown mercy to us and forgiven us and made us brand new. You must be born again in the image of God. And he does the birth. He is the one that gives the new birth. He is the one that came as the Redeemer. He is the one that is the righteous. And we have his righteousness. In the Revelation, it says that the church is given white robes. And the white robes, what are they? They are the righteousness of the saints, dipped in the blood of the Lamb. The Lamb is the one that takes the place of the sinner, the one that pays for the sins of the sinner. I have nothing to boast. Paul says this, makes it very clear. Where is the boasting then? It is excluded. When I stand before God and I look at what Jesus went through for me and I am able, I don't know, but I think I will be able to go back to the cross and back to the crucifixion and watch them scourge him and see how much pain and feel it. Just like it says, and Jesus had compassion on those that he spoke to on the hillside. I, being outside of time and future, will be able to go back and understand how much he loved me. And when I understand how much he loved me and how horrible it was that he went through for me, there won't be enough tears in the Atlantic Ocean. My heart will be broken with the love that he has showered. And I will worship him. And I will embrace him for all of eternity. And I believe that this is the inheritance that we have. We will know the mind of God. It says that we will know what God has done for us. I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to the place to place them, for I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Lord, their God, and will hear them. Thank you, God. Thank you for that verse 6, for it is not just about the house of Judah. It is about all that by faith take his son as their redeemer and are adopted, as Paul rightly talks about in the book of Romans, adopted into the household of faith. They of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their hearts shall rejoice as through wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad. Their hearts shall rejoice in the Lord. For I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them. We have this word redemption in our English language, but do we really understand what God is, the depth of this word? We have the word redeemed. We use it. Carol and I went to the Acme the other day. We redeem coupons or whatever. We turn them in place of money. But this redemption that we're talking about, this redemption is what Christ went through for us to take our place. Turn with me to Isaiah 54, not 53, which talks about the work of his redemption and why the Father did it, what he saw. But go to Isaiah 54, and I'm going to read the first 10 verses. Isaiah 54, he says, "Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife," saith the Lord. Again, it's all caps. He's speaking to his beloved. "Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not. Lengthen the cords. Strengthen the stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. And thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore." For a Jewish woman to die without seed was a great shame. Verse 5, "For thy maker," capital N, capital M, this is God. "For thy maker," the creator, the one who gave you life as a human being and more, as a child of king. "For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer." Look at that verse 8. I have, in a little wrath, I hid my face for thee. For what? For a moment. a blink of time, but with everlasting, eternal kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. We are in this little blink of time right now, but he has an eternity of mercy and love in store for us. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Back to Zechariah. Verse 8 again. I will hiss for them and gather them, and the Jews will come from all over the world. They already have begun the migration. They have begun to go back to Israel, but if you read Ezekiel chapter 37, it says that the bones stood up and flesh came upon them and sinews and skin covered them, but they had no breath in them. And then God breathes upon them, and it says life entered into them. And that is the thing that is yet to come in our existence. He has brought the nation of Israel back together again after 2,000 years. They are a nation again, and there are many, many, many believers and that have been redeemed and are saints in glory. But as a nation, they will come to him. We're going to read about this later on in Zechariah chapter 12 and 13. But here he says, I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased, and I will sow them among the people. This is the plan of God. This is the beauty of what he's done. I will take my children that I have chosen. I have given them the law. I've given them Moses. I've given them the prophets. I have given them all these things. I've done great miracles among them. All the nations that dealt with them knew that God was with them. And then God scatters them like seeds all over the world. And those seeds scattered all over the world, the seed is planted in every nation, in every tribe, in every tongue. And it will come to fruition. What God has planted will come to pass. And we are seeing this. This is part of his plan, that he would scatter the Jews all over the world so that the knowledge of the God of the Jews would be made apparent to them, and that they would seek to know more about this Redeemer. For this is different than all other religions. All other religions are the works of men's minds. They are the idols that have spoken vanity. They are the diviners that have seen a lie. They are those that have told false dreams. Follow this and everything will be, we have this. You think of it, I'm going to study some of the religions, they get smoke-filled rooms, and this is supposed to get them into a trance. But there is no peace. There is no tranquility. They deaden the senses to the coming tribulation and wrath of God. But the Jews, they teach, these are the laws. These are the Ten Commandments. These are the things that God has said that he wants us to do. And we look at that and say, I don't do those things either. I steal. I bear false witness. I commit adultery. I commit murder. I am angry. I don't hold the Sabbath day. I don't keep God foremost in my mind. This is what the nations of the world, they see this and they compare and they say, well, I don't do those things. And God puts it in their heart and he says, what will you do? And there are those that God calls out. There are those that God draws out of the fire and brings to his son. And it is part of what he says, I will sow them among the people. This is God that does this. This is his plan. And they shall remember me in far countries, and they shall live with their children and turn again. That word turn again is the same word. Remember when I did the book of Ruth with you? Turn again, repent, repent, repent. The word is used 13 times in one chapter. It is the word that we use for a person to turn to God. You must repent. You must go and turn from your own thinking, your own ways, your own works, your own ideas. You must say, I cannot get to God no matter how hard I try. And we repent, turn 180 degrees back and say, God, I cannot. I am helpless. And God says, I know. That which is impossible with man is possible with God. I have sent my Son to buy you back with his life. And by faith, I and you and believers all over the world from all different nations believe this. And God welcomes them into his family. Verse 10, I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt and gather them out of Assyria, and I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them. That's what we just read. Lengthen the cords. Get a bigger tent. You're going to need stronger stakes. I am going to take that which is without children, that which is what the world looks at and says, you have nothing, you are worthless, you have no thing of any value. And God says, you are mine. And that makes you very valuable, because my Son is going to be your husband. I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt and gather them out of Assyria, and I will bring them into the place of Gilead and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them. And he shall pass through the sea with affliction. He, this is the one that we talked about earlier over there. This is the battle bow. And he shall pass through the sea, the nations of the world, with affliction, and shall smite the waves of the sea, and all the deeps of the river shall dry up, and the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away. What he's saying is, all the nations and their empires and their rulers and their hatred of God, God will judge, and he will bring them to naught and judge them righteously. Verse 12, and I will strengthen them in the Lord. And they, here he's talking about the house of Joseph. He's talking about the house of Judah. He's talking about Israel, the nation of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, those that God calls out to himself. It says, I will strengthen them in the Lord. Yahovah, the one who reveals himself to them. And they, those Jews, in this future time, it says, they shall, future time, walk up and down in his name. You can underline that word, his name, and put in there, Yahshua, Jesus. They shall walk up and down in Jesus' name, saith the Lord. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Again, reading in verse 20. Here's what it says. This is Gabriel the angel speaking. But while he thought on these things, this is Mary's husband in the world, a man by the name of Joseph. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. In the Hebrew, and I don't think that they named Jesus a Greek name, I think they gave him a Hebrew name, and the name that he would have been given is Yahshua. Joshua, we would say. Yahshua means the first part, Yah, is for Yehovah, the self-existent one who reveals himself to those that are his. And then the last part, Yahshua, Shua means, and he shall save them from their sins. Jehovah, the self-existent one, the one who always was and who reveals himself to those that are his, shall save them from their sins. That's his name. And they shall walk up and down in his name. For he shall save his people from their sins. Back over, we go and it says, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord. We look at the Jewish nation today and we say that they don't accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah today. As a nation, there are many, many individuals, probably more than any other race that I know of. But as a nation, very few. And you read in the tribulation, we're going to find out when we get back to Zechariah chapter 13, that during the tribulation period, 2 out of 3 will die in that 7 years. But the 1/3 that live through it, it says in one day, everyone will turn to their Redeemer. Everyone will see him whom they pierced and mourn for him. And they will turn to him. And it says, in that day there shall be a fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness to all that are alive in Jerusalem and in Israel. All. We go to Romans chapter 11. Paul understood this. He talks about this in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 1. Paul is writing to the Jews. There are very, very few Jews in Rome at this time. It was forbidden for the Jews to be in Rome, and if they were caught, they were killed. Caesar, that was alive at that time, Nero, I guess it was Nero, he said it is illegal for Jews to be in the cities. A few hung out in the catacombs, and a few were scattered here and there, but by and large, there were no Jews in Jerusalem or in Rome. And so when Paul was writing this letter to the Romans, these are almost all Gentiles. And so you can see it in the tone of the letter. Although he does speak to the Jews, the bulk of the book of Romans is written to Gentiles. And he says this in chapter 11, verse 1, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Don't you know that the scripture, what the scripture says of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace.
And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it is of works, then it is no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeks for, Israel the nation. But the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Yes, there were those Jews that were alive at this time that they were of the elect. Paul, what does he say? I am a Jew. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. Did Paul believe in Jesus Christ? Absolutely. He was called out by God. He was elected by God to receive this understanding and to believe it by faith. But what about those that don't? What about the nation of Israel that refused in the first century or refused today? What does it say? It says, the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, even unto this day. And David said, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? In other words, have they fallen over that this would be the end? That they would, when it talks about them falling, it means that they will never rise again? This is the end of their opportunities? This is the end of God's plan for the Jews? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles. Remember what he says? I have scattered you among the nations as seeds. For through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. For why? Again, this is part of God's beautiful plan. Why? For to provoke them to jealousy. Us Gentiles here in this room, the Gentiles in the world that receive Jesus Christ as their Messiah, there will come a day when the Jews will look at us and they say, he is our Messiah. He is our Messiah. And I am jealous that God has given you the knowledge of his Son, our Messiah. And by jealousy, they will be drawn back to Jesus Christ. They will come to him because the Gentiles have received Jesus Christ as their Messiah, and they will look at how God is blessing those Gentiles that by faith have received what God has put into this world, and they will say, he is ours. He is of the seed of David. He is of the house of Judah, just as we read. He is ours. And they will look upon him whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him, for what they have done, as one mourns for an only son. Verse 12. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? When we get into the millennial kingdom and the Jews come back to the Lord, when they come back to Jesus Christ, when they accept him as their maker and their redeemer and their Lord and their God and their shepherd and all the other things that we've talked about. When they do that, the entire world will be blessed. Disease will be no more. Men will live to be 1,000 years old. There will be no war. Nations will not learn war anymore. There will be no evil allowed to exist in the world because Christ will be reigning from his throne in Jerusalem. And all the world will go to him and see him and speak to him. You as believers, if you are still here on the earth, you'll be able to go and see him face to face. How he can do that, only God knows. And those that are dead already, They won't prevent those. They won't go before. No, it says that those that are dead already, they come back with him. When he comes back, he comes with his saints. Ten thousands of thousands and millions upon millions. They come with him in great glory. They come back with him. And it says he sets up thrones in Jerusalem for the saints that come back with him. And they will be given new bodies like unto his own, that don't get old and don't get diseased. And we will be with him and never leave him. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles insomuch as I am an apostle, a sent one to the Gentiles. I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh and might save some of them. For if the casting away for them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from death? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches, that is, some of the Jews, be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partaketh of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. Don't boast against the fact that God has, some of the Jews have not believed that Jesus is the Messiah, and they have died in their sins. God didn't break those branches off so that we Gentiles could be grafted in. He is capable of grafting in billions and billions of believers without breaking off one branch, because we accept him by faith. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Jesus is the root. He is the netzer, the Hebrew word. He is the source. John chapter 15. I am the vine. You are the branches. Outside of me, you can do nothing. But if you abide in me and I in you, then you shall have fruit. If some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partaketh of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root you. Wilt thou say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in? Beware, ye Gentiles. Don't get proud and arrogant against what God is doing to his children Israel. He has a purpose. And they were always those that would reject him, just as there are Gentiles that reject him. It is a miracle that there are any that receive him by grace and faith. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed that he also not spare thee. You can't lose your salvation. He's talking about Gentiles in general here. Once a Gentile, myself included, received Jesus Christ by faith, my salvation is sure. It's eternal life he gave me. Not life for 15 years or 25 years or 100 years, but eternal life in Christ. And I can never lose that because I never gained it. It wasn't my works. It was his work that did it. Therefore, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but towards thee, those that received by faith, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Again, I say that this is not for a possibility of a person losing his salvation. Again, he's speaking to the Gentile nation as a whole. Gentiles. And they Also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. And we will see that when we get to the latter chapters of Zechariah. He's going to talk about that. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Can he take a dead stick and make it alive? Read Ezekiel chapter 37. He takes him out into the valley of the bones and he says, I saw millions of bones dry, extremely dry. Bones that had been out there baked in the sun with no life in them. And God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel doesn't know how to answer. And so he says, you know, I think I would have said the same thing. And God asked him a second time, I'm asking you, can these bones live? God can take that which is dead and give it life. And he does, and he will. How much more shall these which be natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness, in part, is happened to the Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. We are in this part of time which God calls the fullness of the Gentiles. You go back to Luke's Gospel, chapter 21. Jesus talks about this. He says that the city shall be pressed down until the fullness of the Gentiles be accomplished. Right now, God has opened the door and the Gentile nations are able to learn of these things of the Jewish Messiah, to learn of the Jewish Redeemer, to learn of the Lamb of God, and we are invited in to go in. But the time of the Gentiles will come to an end and God will once again focus on his people Israel. The 70th week of Daniel's 70 weeks is yet to be accomplished. We call it the time of great tribulation. Sin will be cast down to the earth, and he will see that he has only 7 years, and he will just go berserk, and he will hunt the Jews down and massacre them and kill them because he knows that God has a special place for them. And so, look at verse 26. And so, all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. How was I saved? How are you saved? Was anyone in this room saved by your own deeds, your own works, your own religion, your own efforts? Or did God take away your sins? And how did you receive it? By faith, through his mercy, through grace. And that is exactly what he is going to do with the nation of Israel. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. Yes, right now when Paul is preaching this. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as in times past you have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. This time of the Gentiles has opened the gate for all the Gentile nations. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they may also obtain mercy. for God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that they might have mercy upon all, that he might have mercy. All are sinners and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Jew or Gentile, we are alike. And how does a man come to God? By faith and mercy that God showers upon us at his bidding, at his election, his choice. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, this is the hymn that we were talking about back in Zechariah chapter 10. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And they shall walk up and down in his name, it says. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your word. It is so awesome. And I mean that. Not the way the world uses it. We use it when we're talking about shoe polish. But I mean your word, your plan, your thoughts. They bring awe to a man that understands them and can see them. When I see the wisdom of God, the way you are bringing the knowledge of yourself and this love that you have for your creatures into the hearts of men so that they can know with a background of sin and death and degradation and horror in front of them, they have that as a background. And then lying on top of that is mercy and faith and a new birth, and the love of God that passes understanding. Thank you, God, for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for obeying your Father's wishes. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding us in the thoughts that we have about you and about the Godhead and its plans. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.